You're listening to the Forest Hill Podcast. This episode is part of a bi-weekly series discussing families, parenting, and how you can continue to be the spiritual leader of your home. To watch our services live or find a campus nearest you, visit foresthill.org.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Forest Hill Parent Podcast, where we want to inspire parents to make faith in Jesus a priority in their families. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Todd, and we have a special guest with us today. We're going to be talking about parenting teens, and our guest is Amy Carney. Amy is a wife and a mother of four, soon to be five. She's a blogger and an author who wants to inspire parents to courageously cultivate families of significance, and I just love that. And sometimes, as she's doing that, she'll even hop in an RV and travel across the country for 6 months with her family, which sounds like a blast. So, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. So tell me just a little bit, tell our parents a little bit about your journey as a parent.
Okay. My journey as a parent started back in 2001 when I gave birth to triplet sons. Yes. September 8th, just before the tragedies of September 11th. Mm. But we had tried for years, and then luckily got blessed with healthy triplet sons, and then had a subsequent daughter a year and a half later. So in 18 months, we were blessed with four children. So
very good. Yes. How old are they now?
My boys are 15.
Okay.
So just started high school.
Yep.
And our daughter's 13, eighth grade.
Okay. Can they drive in Arizona?
Not yet.
Okay.
I let them drive my car around the circle of the neighborhood just to, you remember that feeling? That they love that. But 15 and a half, they'll get to start getting their permit. And
okay.
It's hard to believe.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it is when here in South Carolina, where I'm from. They're behind the wheel. At 15 and a half. So there you go. Out of the power wheels and into the real deal.
Scary. I know. Yeah. It happens fast.
Yes, it does. Well, when it comes to parenting, I think we all know, you and I, parents in general, that parenting isn't easy. But you're, personally, you're committed to inspiring people to parent well. So from your vantage point, what does healthy parenting look like?
Well, for me, I think healthy parenting means you need to have a plan, kind of. I mean, we all, we get married and then we want to have kids and then we're just in the day-to-day and we don't sometimes stop to think about why did we want kids in the first place and why do we have this family and what are we doing? So it's really helpful to stop and make a plan.
Yeah.
And how I, in the book that I'm writing, it's about looking at your child as an 18-year-old and they're walking out your door and what do you want that to look like for them and for that journey? And so healthy parenting, I think, is parenting from the end and making a plan for your family and what you want to accomplish and what you want to show them and do for them and give them so that when they walk out your door, you all feel really good about those 18 years you just had together.
Yeah. So parenting in the moment with kind of the end in mind.
That's kind of the goal for me.
Yeah, that's really
good. I also think that we have to remember that parenting is a huge major role, but it's just one of our roles. Mm. And we can't put everything into this one role.
Yeah. Yep. I get that.
Yeah.
It kind of along those lines, one of the reasons that I wanted to have this conversation is because there were a couple moms at our church who shared a blog post you wrote, and it was all over Facebook. And the title of the blog was "Stop Doing These 8 Things for Your Teen This School Year." It's such a good title.
Oh my gosh.
So it grabbed my attention. I respect these moms, and I read it. I love it. And I've been a student pastor for a long time. And so I've had a number of these conversations throughout the years of what's kind of the balance of what do you do for your kids? What don't you do for your kids? So just as a mom of teenagers, I'm sure there are a couple good stories behind this blog. And so how did you come to realize you needed to stop doing these things in the first place?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think when the kids are young, having four of them at the same time, I felt like being a good mom meant doing everything for them. Mm. And then as they grew, I saw I couldn't keep up and nor was I supposed to keep up. And they were perfectly capable of helping me out and helping themselves. And so when I just started turning over, you know, little tasks and little things, it empowered them. And I love watching them flourish and be these responsible, independent, happy kids. But we have to remember to, we've got to step back and let them do some of these things for themselves. And, but I mean, also have grace in the process.
Yeah.
You know, help them along the way.
Yep.
But,
and, I'll share the link to the blog, with our parents, but I've picked a few of, the eight just to discuss. And if you don't mind, just kind of unpacking kind of the idea around them. So I'll just, list out, four of them. The first one is, stop waking them up in the morning.
Yeah. I honestly had no idea that parents were going in and waking their teenagers up. I really had no idea until I was in this Bible study and a mom mentioned that, oh my gosh, my teens are just so cute. I just love waking them in the morning. And I was like, holy cow. Like I don't know. It just caught me off guard. And, I mean, I love my cutie pies too, but, we bought them all alarm clocks when they started middle school because they had to get up early and we wanted them to start learning how to manage, you know, their time and themselves. And we don't allow cell phones in their bedrooms. So we had to buy the old school alarm clocks, and it's crazy in the morning. You hear four different alarm clocks going off all within 15 minutes. And,
yes. Your house is loud.
Yes. It's loud.
Yep.
It's loud. But like last week, one of my sons who, like I said, is a freshman in high school, he asked me, Mom, can you wake me up at 5 a.m.? I have homework I need to finish. And I was like, I could do that. I could get myself and get him up. But I said, no, son, you're the one that needs to be up. You got to set your alarm. Yeah. And then it's awesome because he does it. I get up, you know, and go out to make my coffee and he's in there doing his work. And, I just think it's key. And it makes me really proud of him that he's responsible enough to do that. But we have to facilitate it in our homes as well.
Yeah, definitely. I can remember my birthday's on Christmas, and so I kind of already feel gypped and a little bitter in that. And so 1 year, either, you know, a week before or after my birthday, we had my birthday party, and the worst present of my life was my parents got me an alarm clock. That was the present. But, you know, just like you're saying, at the end of the day, they were giving me a tool of responsibility that I took with me to college. And I was like, this is my saving piece of equipment that is going to get me through. My parents aren't coming to college with me. They're not calling me every morning, wake up. And so I get that now. But in the moment, I was like, oh, what? Take this gift back. Give me something different.
Funny. Yeah, we're going to wrap those up for him. We just kind of bought them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I don't know. I'm not saying go out and get your kids an alarm clock for a present, but definitely let them take responsibility for waking up.
Yeah.
That's good. Exactly. Number two, this is my wife's favorite one from the blog, is making their failure to plan your emergency. What do you mean by that?
I found myself scrambling a little bit for them when, you know, they would come home and I'll realize in middle school, I've got this project due tomorrow and I need this and I need that. And I'm home and I'm available. So I run out and get it. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of operated that for a little while. And then all of a sudden there was one time when I had a meeting or I was going to be gone and I couldn't go out and get it. And my child fell apart. And it was then that I realized I was not doing them, service by making myself available to their every whim. And that's exactly what I mean. So now I tell them, like, make their failure to plan is not my emergency anymore. And I think the thing to remember is you've got to talk all this stuff through in advance.
Yeah.
It's just something you spring on your child. And, we try and have regular family meetings and we bring up things like this. Okay. This isn't working for us. You know, me, mom having to run out and grab all this last minute stuff. So now we're going to regroup and we're going to start planning in advance. And if you need things, you got to come to the table with a list or let me know in advance. And during the week, I can stop and get it at my convenience or figure it out. But last minute, it's not going to work anymore. And just spelling out expectations in advance.
Yeah.
When everybody understands. And but they'll still try and pull things over on me.
Oh, totally. They're smart. Right? Yep. Yep. But I love what you mentioned, just the necessity of planning ahead and not necessarily planning ahead for them, but teaching them the skill of planning ahead themselves is thinking about them. I know, hey, probably for all people, but teenagers especially, they're in the moment. It's like, what's happening right now is all that matters. And it's like, well, you know, tomorrow's coming. It's going to be here. So let's get ready for it.
Yeah. Sometimes I know I feel like I work for them. Sometimes you forget and you're scrambling around and I'm like, oh my gosh,
that's good. That's good. Yep. Yep. I have a job too and I got to take care of this. All right, number three. And this probably goes kind of is connected to that one, but delivering their forgotten items.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, just sit in any school office long enough and you see parents running in items left and right. And I think in elementary school, that's just kind of what we do. We start to learn how this works in our family. And then by middle school, I tended to really start letting them feel the pain of missing lunch or certain things. And then in high school, it's just not an option to me. Mm. I mean, you know, because we've set you up, I think, where you know, and they will, they, a problem I have with parenting now is these cell phones, they, you know, they use it as a tool to, oh, they can text you, mom, I forgot this. I need you to do this. And, it kind of makes it, like I said, their failure to plan your emergency. Cause now this text is in your lap and you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to be a good mother? And, you know, or it makes it difficult. So we kind of set up a rule in our home where they're not to text us once they leave home. I mean, it may sound wrong, but it's like, what, you know, we're not here just sitting here waiting on your, your text.
Your beck and call, right?
People get caught up in it. I see it with my friends all the time. They get a text like, oh my gosh, I got to go home and get this. And run. No, we can't do this.
Yep.
So I just think you have to know when it's time for a teaching moment for your child, if something's become a habit. Or if something's truly an oversight and it's never happens, then maybe they do need some grace.
Yeah.
And you run it to school. But you just got to kind of figure out the difference in your family. And I mean, I don't want to be that mom that the office lady's talking about, right?
It's I hear that. Yep.
Skewing your risk in your kid. But I just think it's a process.
And that goes back to what you started with is, you know, thinking about the end in mind is that moment of teaching that responsibility, letting consequence be a teacher. How often is consequence one of the greatest teachers in life? And it sounds like you're thinking about them at 18 years old when they're going to be out of the house is mom's not going to be able to drive to your job or to your college and solve this problem.
Right. And if you read, I mean, it's a huge topic now, or that, you know, these college counselors are enduring these kids come in and they don't know how to handle anything. They've got to text their parent and call their parent to find out what to do. And I mean, that's just doing my, I just can't have that.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
Yep. Yeah. It's shocking to hear about those things. Last one here we have here on the list is emailing and calling their teachers and coaches, kind of intervening for them.
Yes. Well, I found us doing that because it's easier to do that when they're younger, just to email the coach or email the teacher when there's an issue. And then as they get older, we realized that we really need to build their confidence in conversating with authority figures in their life. And they won't acquire that skill if we're taking it on for them. So I had a son, I just wrote about this, but I have one of my sons in eighth grade, his Spanish final, I think she forgot to put in a homework grade at the very end and it lowered his final grade. Mm. And I mean, it was from a high A to a low A, okay? But to him, it was the end of the world. Yeah. And he was very upset, rightfully so. But we talked through it at home and we encourage him to advocate for himself if he, you know, so he went in and talked to the teacher, said there's nothing that can be done. He came home, was still talking about it. So we just talked about, well, maybe you go to the principal, maybe, you know, different scenarios. And then we just talked about, you know what, some people make mistakes. Maybe you just forgive your teacher and move on. And that's what he decided to do. But what I wasn't going to do was call her or email her or get involved in it because he's 14.
Right.
And they've got to learn to advocate for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. And my husband was a professional hockey player and coached the 15-year-olds last year. Mm-hmm. He couldn't believe how many parents constantly called him, texted him. Oh, wow.
Yep. Yep.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. There's got to be just an element of the importance of respecting adults and kind of teaching that is, hey, your teacher or your coach is an adult that you respect with a conversation.
Exactly.
And letting them navigate that. That's really important. So you kind of alluded to this in one of the earlier points, but this didn't happen overnight. Like these eight things, you didn't just lay out. They're like the eight commandments of the Carney family. And you're like, here we go. But, you know, where do parents begin in incorporating these expectations as a family?
Well, I think if you start out today, like I said, look forward at your 18-year-old leaving and you figure out what that looks like for you and for your family. Mm-hmm. And then write down those values or those traits and then figure out how do you want to start teaching those or implementing the ones that you haven't been able to get to yet. Yeah. And slowly but surely, you just take one thing at a time. I've got a lot of people that are asking me, they looked at that list and they're not doing any of those things, but they want to start.
Yep.
So you pick one thing, you buy the alarm clock and start doing that or just slowly. But middle school is a great time. I think that they really can start tackling all of that.
Yeah. Experiment with it a little bit.
Yeah. And I know what I hear from some people is they say, I'm just such a caretaker. I just can't. Mm. Well, I'm a caretaker too. And that is a problem when you're a stay-at-home mom and you want to do well and you're taking care of everybody, but you've got to know the difference between a caretaker and an enabler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think looking at the end goal really helps.
Yeah. That's one of the best parts of the blog post was that image. I don't know if that was an image capture of one of your conversations with your kids, the text message. They were like, I need you to bring this to me. Was that a real conversation?
Yes. Yeah. I snapped that one day because I knew I wanted to write about it because, you know, and he was being so nice in the text too. And, you know, it's hard because I want to rescue him, you know, I want to rescue him, but you've got to stick to your plan because, you know, some of our kids, it's harder to do because they're so easy and they're good and they rarely need you. And it's, you know, it's hard to tell those kids no.
Yeah.
But,
and I'll let that be the teaser for parents to check out the blog, but that could be one of those first steps is start with a text message. When you get that text message from your kid, it's like, I need you to bring this to me. Nope. Just respond with, I'll pick up after school, you know, or however it played out. But one text at a time.
One text at a time, but just talk it through first, I think, because we did have the conversation before before they got cell phones, we set up a contract.
Yeah.
With the kids and just stating that, like, you know, this phone isn't to be used to be, you know, bugging us to bring you things and do things for you and all that. So just talk it before, and then it's pretty easy because you don't feel as guilty telling them no.
Yep. It's not a bat signal.
Right. Yeah.
We need you. Nope. You can figure this one out. Yep. I like that. Man. When this whole idea, you're an advocate for parents raising competent and capable adults. So it really seems like you and your husband on the same page, and then you kind of invite your kids into this process with establishing these things. So when it comes to taking responsibility for their lives, you have this list of eight great things. How can parents, you know, we want this to this podcast have a spiritual component to it. So how can parents help their kids take responsibility for their faith? Because it's very similar as well. It's like, I'm not going to be able to take you to church for the rest of your life or read you the Bible. But so what are some thoughts around that?
Well, I love this question. I love this question because my absolute belief is that we as parents need to be responsible for our own faith first. Mm-hmm. And if we're modeling and living out our faith in action, then our kids are going to see that. And our family motto is, you know, the I'm third motto, God first, others second, and we're third.
Yeah, that's good.
And we have that displayed in our home. We talk about it. And I think it's really helpful to have a motto like that for your family. So I just really, especially at this age, having teenagers right now, they still love going to church and, you know, but I still am really pay attention to how I'm modeling out my faith. And in the morning when I say I'm not really making them weekday breakfast anymore, but I'm coming out and I'm reading them a devotional or I'm reading my Bible sitting right there by them and we're talking, we're talking about faith. And I just think that is so important. And surrounding ourselves with friends, friends of faith. And we started sending our kids to actually to Kanakuk.
Yeah.
It's a Christian, you know, Kanakuk. So we started sending in there last summer. And I think it was the hardest thing I've ever done as a parent because I love being with my kids and we've never really been apart. We don't even do sleepovers. So to send my kids to a camp in Branson, Missouri, so they could strengthen their faith. To be around peers and to be mentored was a huge step for us. But it was part of, like I said, our plan because at this stage, they need to be surrounded by mentors that are pouring into them. And so we're willing to send them to this beautiful camp where they get that. And they absolutely have loved it. And they went again this summer. Yeah. So I just think another thing, looking at the end at 18, how do you want to instill strong faith in them, and it's between them and God, but I'm going to do my best to live it out in our home and model it, and God will take it from there.
Seriously. Yep. Yeah. We say, you know, more is caught than taught, when it comes to matters of faith.
Yes.
But it's a public part of your family. It sounds like is that this is a value to our family, whether you're like it or not, this is what you're going to get in our home. And it's important to us.
Well, it is. And like I said, now with us adopting, so like you said, we're adopting National Adoption Day is November 19th. Mm-hmm. And our son, he lives with us now, but so he'll be joining our family officially that day out of foster care. So, but I couldn't do that without our entire family believing and acting in love and faith. And and if my kids, another thing I think is if they weren't responsible, independent kiddos, I couldn't take on another child like this too. So the way we've them opens up, you know, room for me now to teach this other child, these skills. So it's an awesome journey.
That's a really interesting connection there, that teaching responsibility opens up capacity for well, it sounds like your family kind of ministry or family compassion. That is so interesting that it frees you up to widen your home or, you know, extend grace and generosity to others and teaching your family to take part in that too. Oh, that's great. That's really good.
Yeah.
So it sounds like kind of the idea that everyone takes personal responsibility for their own faith, but it takes a community or, you know, mentors to help people live out their faith. And you kind of value those two pieces there.
Yes, because as they get older, you know, the friends are what's important.
Yeah.
And we do ask our kids to choose a discipleship group or youth group to get involved in. Like this morning, I took the boys early to high school because it was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes this morning. And so we've got to come alongside our kids and, you know, get them to these things and be willing to help them find opportunities to grow their strength. And and I love seeing them evolve in their faith.
That's great. Advocating for being responsible teenagers and teenagers of faith. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yes. So, well, this has been fantastic. As we wrap it up, what's the last piece of encouragement that you have for the parents listening to this podcast?
Well, you did mention the RV trip, so.
Yeah. Take an RV trip.
we were so busy. My husband was coaching with the Chicago Blackhawks, and I was home with these four kids and we were running crazy, not connected at all. And we just said, what in the world are we doing? So he quit his job. We pulled the kids out of school, bought an RV. We never camped a day in our life. And we headed around the United States. Because sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, the day to day and the success. That's why I say, I love the word significance over success because, as the kids grow, we start, you know, school gets hard and the grades are so important and getting into this college and what kind of job are they going to have? And really, is that what's significant in our lives? It's really to think about what is significant to you and your family and start parenting toward that. And take some days off and take a vacation. And just if you start to feel disconnected in your home and your family, stop.
Yeah.
Make a change, because you can't get 1 second of this back.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good place to wrap it up. Be a family of significance.
Family of significance.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. You can check out Amy's blog. Her website is Amy Carney. That's Carney. AmyCarney.com. Some great stuff out there for parents all along the topic list there. So please go check that out. And Amy, good luck on your book. I can't wait to read that once that comes out. When is that scheduled? Do you have an idea of when that one's going to be?
We're about 8 months out.
Okay. Fantastic. Yep.
Yep. People can sign up to get updates on my book on my website as well.
Okay. Very good. Parents, go ahead and do that. While you're checking out the website, you will benefit from it greatly. Well, Amy, thank you so much. Let me wrap up with a prayer for our parents, and then we'll be done.
Great. Thanks, Todd.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time with Amy, that she would speak in to our parents. And navigating those teenage years has got to be one of the most challenging. And to think with the end in mind, I really pray that parents would wrap their minds around this, and that moms and dads would keep the end in mind, whether it's graduation from college or heading off into a career graduating from high school or heading off into career or college, that they would keep their character and their values and their responsibility in mind, and that they would make one decision at a time. They'd be unified as a family, and that they would raise competent and capable adults, and starting now with their children. So we pray for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Parent on, parents. You got this.